The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. How you feeling? How you holding up? What's on your mind? This is the day to share your thoughts about it. Join me at 770-563-3770-KMED. The email, bill@billmeyershow.com. Going to be talking with State Representative Dwayne Junker. Wanted to get an update on what's happening in the Marble Nut House. And rumor has it that there are a bunch of the bad gun bills that are being gutted and stuffed into one big, beautiful bill, to use a term from President Trump. Oh, my goodness. I guess the question would be, how many Republicans, once again, will the Republicans stay in quorum? I mean, that's the big question. And you know, if they're not willing to get out, I don't know what to tell you here. Markets looking a little bit better today. Actually, a lot better. Yesterday was the third day of drama. And then, you know, how do markets work? I mean, it was reacting to the Liberation Day tariffs from the Trump administration. The markets soared yesterday for a brief time because there was a false news story, some fake news that got out there saying that he was going to put a 90-day pause on the tariffs, and that ended up not happening. And then it just sank again. But today we're looking at futures on the Dow Jones up about 1,200 points. So what goes down could go up. You know, is this something which could be maintained? I don't know. Anybody who claims they know, just smack them upside the head, because let's face it, markets are the decisions of millions of people choosing where to put or to not put their money. And I don't know. The one thing I was kind of concerned about, I'm looking at my little baby 401k over there on Schwab, and I'm looking at it, okay, yes, it's all fine. And I picked some actually pretty good stocks with some help from some pros that I work with. And I said, listen, these are still good stocks. And I was talking with Matt, my buddy up in Grants Pass. I said, you know, Matt, I almost called him up over the weekend, almost like to say, you know, talk me down off the ledge. Should I just have sold everything on Tuesday and then just waited for, you know, the plummet and then scoop it up? In retrospect, yeah, maybe I should have. Yeah, maybe I should have. Well, I imagine a lot of other people kind of thought that. But I wasn't in the tech world. The tech world got pounded much worse than even my little baby 401k did. You know, I wasn't exposed to Apple. I didn't have NVIDIA stocks. I didn't have any of those sort of things. A lot of them were, I guess what I would say, fear trade sort of things. A lot of gold, a lot of miners, a lot of silver, a lot of mineral producers, people that make and bring stuff and get them into industry. Now, in other words, kind of like the building blocks of industry is what I was going into a lot of, because I had a weird feeling about the tech sector. I'd backed out of some of those other things, but I might have Matt on. Matt and I might just shoot the breeze at some point if I can just get him away. Of course, he's busy doing his day job. But I just kind of held tight. It's like, all right, fine. All right. Then whatever happens. I want to start singing that old song I hear when I was a little kid. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. You're going to be broke, you see. Que sera, sera. I don't remember that part about it, but that's the modern version. Actually, though, like I said, it is looking a little bit better, about 1,200 points higher. We'll see what happens. Markets will be opening at 6:30. Sometimes the markets just go higher because the market just finally wants to go higher. It's kind of funny. Trying to predict it is kind of weird. But we'll keep an eye on it for you, too. Now, some other stories around here. Four new civil lawsuits filed against Asante. The total charges right now, or at least the total damages being claimed right now, about $500 million with a B, $500 million in these civil lawsuits. This is, once again, the drug diversion, and I really wish they would stop calling it drug diversion. This is drug theft. That's what the nurse is accused of having done, drug theft, and then putting tap water into the medical lines. Just horrible story. By the way, the criminal trial hasn't even been scheduled yet. I'm wondering if the criminal trial will ever happen. Because I think everybody knows what happens, but there's a big difference between everybody knowing what happened and being able to prove beyond a doubt. you know, to a jury what happened. That's just it. That's why I think most of the most of the concentration is going to be on civil lawsuits, to getting damages, getting their pound of flesh out of the Asante Corporation. And rumor has it that Asante is right up against the limit of its business insurance right now. Will it have to merge to continue to be a going concern? I don't know, but those are sort of some of the rumors that I've been hearing. Now, it's not like your doctor's not going to be there. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the health of the actual corporation behind it. And rumor has it behind people in the medical know have been saying, we're looking for some mergers. I know the OHSU legacy merger has run into some problems over in the Portland area, too. So bigger is not necessarily better, I guess. I don't know. Another story we had, Albany man was put in Jackson County jail. Cops say he drove under the influence yesterday, smacked head on with another car on Crater Lake Highway in Medford. This happened around 3 o'clock or so. A 2007 Land Rover crossing over the median and hit a blue Hyundai sedan. And the first responders took the driver of the Hyundai, a 25-year-old woman, to the hospital. Serious injuries. Don't know what she's up to at this point. But the Albany man taken into custody, suspicion of driving under the influence. So he's in a bit of trouble. We had a plane crash in Coos County, in Coos Bay, yesterday. Yeah, that happened. Happened about 6 in the morning. Small plane overshot the runway and then went, boom, right into the drink. Doesn't appear that anybody is hurt, so that was pretty good news about that. Weird story that I haven't heard much about. But remember the Gene Hackman death of a few weeks ago, and we found out that his wife had died of hantavirus out in the desert? Remember that? Remember that story? Well, down in Mammoth Lakes, California, that high mountain area there, 3 people have died in Mammoth Lakes from hantavirus. Mono County health officials confirming that. And the deaths all occurring within the first few months of 2025, a pretty big spike of hantavirus activity. Now, the hantavirus is the stuff that's all around the rat droppings and the mice droppings and things like that. So around that kind of stuff, just watch it. Killed Gene Hackman's wife, killed 3 in Mono County and Mammoth Lakes. They're not exactly sure what is going on with this, but the virus does not spread from person to person. So it's not like somebody gets hantavirus and then you spread it to your family. It's not like that. It's usually from just exposure to rodents stuff. And no, not your pet rodent. We're talking about the stuff in the barns and in inside out buildings, stuff like that. All right? All right. Oregon Department of Education. Shutting down literacy math development programs. Oh, my goodness. U.S. Department of Education recently told the state of Oregon that they're not going to get $3.5 million. $3.5 million? They're getting all excited about this. $3.5 million in the state Department of Education? That's a rounding error. That's not even probably the cost of English as a second language in the Medford schools, but I couldn't be wrong about this. Oh, they're making it. You know what this is? Anything that that can be connected back to the dozing of America, they're going to make a big deal about this. Anyways, $3.5 million in funds already appropriated by Congress to improve Oregon students' literacy and math skills. Oh, that's why we're number 45. Is that the implication? Over $3.5 million? I don't know. I kind of look at that story. It's sort of silly. Another silly story, serious as a heart attack, though. California lawmakers rejecting bill to ban trans athletes' participation in girls' sports. Yep, they're not going to change it. They're doubling down. And like Oregon, most likely going to double down. So look for more grant stream funding cuts. And as far as I'm concerned, good. Only way you're going to make any changes here. You know, this is why, as far as I'm concerned, usually, you know, I've been a big fan of trying to get Oregon to be much more independent of federal power, at least our counties being independent of federal power and federal abuse, because mostly it's been under control by hardcore leftists. Well, there's still a lot of the bureaucracy that's under control of hardcore leftists, and the judiciary certainly is under the control of hardcore leftists. But as far as I'm concerned, the fact that Oregon is dependent on Uncle Sugar for about one-third of its budget, lots of transfer patients, as far as I'm concerned, or payments rather, not patients. But as far as I'm concerned, the more President Trump can beat up on the state of Oregon, the better. That's kind of the way I look at it. This is the Bill Maier Show. We'll go over some other news here in the next few minutes, also talking about the state legislature and more with the state representative Dwayne Junker. Economist Thomas DiLorenzo will join me after 7 o'clock. It's with the Mises Institute. They're normally not real big fans of the tariffing of America, but maybe they see the point here. We'll talk with Thomas about that and a whole bunch more, along with your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Number here is 770-5633.
When concrete around your home sinks.
In Medford.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandler with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
And Valley View Nursery, very busy this time of year as everything pops out. In my particular case, weeds, like I mentioned yesterday. It's 24 minutes after 6. By the way, in tariffing news, just wanted to give you a quick update on this one. It does appear that lots of people, lots of countries coming to the table trying to negotiate a better deal with President Trump. European Union on Monday, this is reported in Just the News. European Union, EU, proposing a zero-for-zero tariff plan to the United States. The offer is made by European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen following the Liberation Day 20% tariff on the EU. Meanwhile, the European Union's 27 trade ministers getting together in Luxembourg to discuss these U.S. measures and come up with an alternative plan. And apparently they're ready to negotiate. So in other words, yep, we're going to blink. And not surprising about that, but I think that may be why the stock market futures are up close to 1,300 points this morning, because they're seeing like, all right, it's not just going to be frozen. However, China, different story. That's a bigger one. President Trump is doubling down. China raises their tariffs dramatically in response to our tariff raise last week. And then Donald Trump says, hey, I'll just take it up again. We'll go to 100% tariff. In fact, I think the current rate that is being discussed is 104%, more than doubling the cost of everything coming in from China, you know, to us. So we're going to see about that. Still a work in progress. We'll keep you informed on it. Maybe DiLorenzo knows more about that. Tomorrow at the Medford City Council meeting, there's going to be a conversation with the people behind the Eugene Emeralds. I had mentioned this for a little bit yesterday. And I always file this under the grift alert or grift watch. In fact, maybe I need to come up with something maybe from the voice guy for the radio station. And it's now time for grift watch, grift watch, grift watch, grift watch, because a lot of business today is conducted not under what we would think of as free market capitalism. Free market capitalism is only for wee little people like you and me, I guess. But so much of so-called capitalism today, especially in the sports world, is all conducted with grift. They go to the city councils or county commissioners or governors, or, you know, like they're trying to do this. Even in the state legislature, they're trying to get a ball field, you know, a big stadium up in the Portland area at taxpayer expense once again. And Eugene Emeralds is trying to do the same thing here. Well, our news buddy, Bill London, has made this very clear to me because, you know, Eugene, they turned down the Eugene Emeralds flat. And I wanted to share with you what the taxpayers in Eugene turned down, which got Eugene Emeralds then the ball club, looking for a new home. And so they've turned their gaze onto Southern Oregon. And I think part of this is that they're thinking, all right, maybe Southern Oregon is desperate enough and is willing to, hang yet another very expensive public project on the taxpayers. Now, I don't know what the Medford City Council is going to do, but they have been squeaking like, oh, this would be wonderful. And Benavides, the guy who runs the Eugene Emeralds. And by the way, I like baseball. Of all the sports out there, you know I'm not a sports guy. But of all the games that are out there, I like baseball. I love baseball. I enjoy that. It's a social game. You can sit around there, have a beer, be with your friends and family, talk and enjoy a good game. You know, it's not the ADD of basketball, and it's not the, football's fun. I like football at the Super Bowl. You know, that's kind of about it. So, you know, I'm not anti-baseball. What I am is pro-taxpayer. And I get concerned when, under the guise of bringing a professional sports team to Southern Oregon, that they might be getting ready to hang yet another public-private partnership. Public-private partnership means the public bears the cost and the private ends up taking the money. Isn't that great? Yeah, that's when you hear public-private partnership, you should almost always repeat this. Public-private partnership. The public gets stuck with the bill, and the private gets to keep the profit. Now, I don't mind people making a profit, but I do mind people making a profit and then hanging the expense onto we the people. And believe me, Southern Oregon folks, you know, they're all, you know, the people in government and the planners, the world improvers, they're always looking for a way, something that they can throw at the wall in order to make up for the fact that Southern Oregon doesn't make anything. Southern Oregon, you know, like I said, deindustrialized out of the timber world a long time ago. Now, I know we do have some factories and we have some building. I'm not saying the whole thing, but generally speaking, Southern Oregon makes nothing of any import. And so the whole goal is to just push it into the tourism world. Now, people move to Southern Oregon because we like the beauty and this and that and the other, the lifestyle. I know that's the way I felt about this. This is my home. But then you have the hotel motel industrial complex that is always looking to find yet another project, yet another thing that the city councils of the various cities will say, of course, we'll throw a fee or a tax, or we'll take this and that and the other, and we're going to create magic in a bottle, and then people will come and spend stupid money in Southern Oregon. Well, the Eugene Emeralds could be the next one, and I don't know if they're going to go for it or how these talks will go. But they're being discussed right now, and this is yet another time, and we're talking about serious money, because I asked Bill London for the stats of what was turned down by the voters in Eugene, because I can't imagine that the Eugene Emeralds would want to come for much less, all right? The proposed cost locally, Bill wrote me yesterday, was a little over $100 million for the stadium. And it was dependent upon Lane County giving them property at the Lane County Event Center over at the fairgrounds. So the Eugene Emeralds were going to get free property and a $100 million stadium. And the scheme also called that for the county to own the stadium. So the county would own the stadium and also be on the hook for paying for the upkeep and the maintenance. And the Eugene Emeralds would be paying them 10 years rent in advance, meaning that the county couldn't increase the cost of the lease to keep up with the increasing cost or inflation. Very nice deal for the Eugene Emeralds once again. And part of the funding, part of the money would have come from the transient room tax. And I imagine that's what the folks here in Medford will try to say, hey, well, we could do this. Just take this out of the hotel motel tax or the car tax. And there was also a Eugene bond measure. There was also state money, county money. And out of the whole $100 million plus package, there was about $12 million coming from the Eugene Emeralds. So $8 coming from, let's see, out of that, let's just divvy it up simply. For every $1 that the Eugene Emeralds would spend, the taxpayers put in $7 or $8. That's what's considered a good deal in today's sports world. All right. And all I would just remind people, just like I did about aquatic centers and everything else, if baseball teams pencil out so well and they make so much money and they bring so much tourism into an area, why isn't that the Eugene Emeralds couldn't get a loan for $100 million and build their own damn stadium? If it is that lucrative. These are the sort of questions that we're going to have to be asking our city council, because I'm just under the assumption that there are many people who want to move forward on something like this. This is real money for Southern Oregon. And this concept that we have to hang fees, big fees and taxes on the people here in Southern Oregon in order to pay for some people's entertainment. And that's what a sports team is, some people's entertainment. We have to be very careful and watch out for it and hold our elected leaders accountable on this, because I imagine that, Parks and Rec and all the other people, they're just going to be painting a very, very pretty picture. But just remember, even the liberals in Eugene that love to tax themselves for just about anything, even they turned down the Emeralds plan. Maybe we'll have a very reasonable plan. Maybe they'll just want to take part of Harry. No, they wouldn't want to take part of the old Harry and David Field. That's way too. That's not up to their standards, that sort of thing. But just be on the lookout, because the grift light is flashing in Southern Oregon, and I think the Eugene Emeralds think Southern Oregon is run by a bunch of rubes ready to and willing to hang the project on the necks of the taxpayers around here. Okay? So be on the lookout. We'll find out what happens. They're going to be in front of the Medford City Council tomorrow. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Homeowners are discovering what lawn care professionals have known for over 30 years. Walker.
KMED, you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
6:38, quick look at markets and soaring at the moment. I don't know if it's a relief rally, a sucker's rally, or just good things, good feelings coming. We'll find out at one point or another. Dow's up about 1,100 points right now as we speak. Joining me, State Representative Dwayne Junker, who is up in the Marble Nut House, otherwise known as the state legislature, and trying to figure out which end is up. How you doing? Welcome back, Dwayne. Good to have you on.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
You ended up giving a remonstrance yesterday in which I think you were waxing poetic about truth just doesn't seem to matter in this state legislature. Is it this legislature or all the other ones? Or is this one just worse than usual?
I had to become really creative because I've gotten some trouble for impugning people here.
Well, I know they're always gaveling you down. So if they're always trying to gavel you down and shut you up, they're obviously there's something that needs to be heard by the people. And that's why.
Yeah. So they roll their eyes and shake their heads at me in disgust. And so because I like to point out the obvious of what they're doing. And so, yesterday I did more of a show of how the nut house is up here, and everything that you would think that's, logical is not, because it's not logical up here. And I kind of just portrayed between, boys are girls and girls are boys, and, people could be furry animals. And
yeah, and if you can't even agree with such absurdities like what are what gets pushed in bills up there, then that really shows that that we're in into some serious kimchi here. And how was it received? Just curious.
Well, I think the Republicans love it because my caucus loves it. They tell me what the Democrats' faces look like because I can't see their faces when I'm talking, mm-hmm. but some of them can look back at their faces, and some are walking out because they're like, well, this guy's going to start talking again. And I see that too. I can see that in the video, but you know what? I get 3 minutes to say what I want to say, and they're not going to stop me. So I have to listen to their garbage and these stupid bills, excuse me. So I'm going to use my 3 minutes valuable. If I could talk against a bill, I'll do that too. Mm-hmm. I got things that I think are just, the dumb bill list for me. And when they get there, I will talk about things. And it's about taking up their time too. The more time I can take from them, the less time they have for lunch.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because one of the ways you can slow down the legislature is to read the bills, right?
Yeah.
Is it true that Leader Drazen in the state caucus, that they allow it to be read by mechanical means, so it reads the bill very quickly and is able to move stuff along quickly, or is that not true?
So yesterday we had them read some bills, but they were read. They were only one or two pages or three pages. They read them by hand. But I'm telling you right now, the guy that can read is a speed reader, and it's pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
Last week. we had a bill that I think was almost 30 pages. They had the reader do it, and that took an hour.
30 pages for an hour. Wow, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's an hour, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, because you're in the minority, both in the Senate. When I say you, I mean talking about Republicans in the minority, both in the House and in the Senate. And so the ability to actually affect a lot of positive change is limited. But you can't, but, you know, it's like all you can do is slow the process down and break things when at all possible. I think that's kind of where we, you know, where we find ourselves at this point. But most of the Republicans are not as, I don't know, how I would term you, cantankerous or just willing to say, no, this is bullshit, I'm not going to vote for it, as you. There aren't many like that. They're looking to go along and get along. Is that a fair assessment of what I'm seeing so far, at least?
I don't think that some of them are as bold as me or creative. If, I have two books on my desk that I've been happen to read a lot.
Yeah.
It's called Parliamentary Procedures and Protocols in the House of Representatives, you know, the rules for the House of Representatives, because I got to figure out how to be the most creative and possible to slow things down, to throw grenades into these, you know, what's going on. I look at this like an art of war, like, you know, I'm a military person, 21 mm-hmm. years, you know, we're fighting a war here. So if I'm always throwing wrenches out or.
But I get the impression that the Republican caucus as a whole doesn't look at it as a war. Would you agree with me or disagree?
Yeah, I think they look at it a little bit different than I do. I think there is some people that is, but then there's some people that are like, well, I have this bill, I want to get it passed, you know, and I'm like, I don't care.
Well, the thing is, Republican bills aren't going to pass, though. For the most part, 99.9999999% of Republican bills aren't going to pass unless Democrats like them. And if it's a bill worth passing, the Democrats aren't going to like the bill, at least from my point of view as a Republican.
Yeah. You know, it's like the squatter bill that we had last week, and there was two really good Republican bills, myself and Boomer Wright had, and then you had Representative Hartman's bill, which was really weak. I mean, it's better than we have now, but I think it's so weak.
And this would be able to kick the squatters out of private property, that kind of thing, that bill? Was that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, and it's so weak. And I mean, ours would have been so much better. And I even heard Lars talk about it, because I got the one out of Florida. That's where I got my bill out of. And, of course, we get the weaky, you know, Democratic one, you know.
In other words, let's be really, really nice to the squatter and say, please leave him after Mr. Squatter, you know, after 90 days or whatever it is after they destroy the house,
but
right?
It's a little bit better than that, but it's like, no, he's in my house. Get the hell out. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it just seems to me, you look at the squatter bill, the only thing you have to do is to present a legitimate full-blown rental agreement that you have the right to be there. And if you don't have it, get the heck out. You know, that's just all there is to this. Why are they making this so difficult? Even just trying to protect your private property from a criminal dirtbag that just decides to take up residence in it. I don't understand this one, Dwayne. Help me out. Because even Democrats rent their properties out, okay? Even Democrats want to be able to stay in their home. What do you think?
When that bill was up, people on the floor, Democrats were actually talking about some of them don't own property or rentals. They know some of them do. And they were talking about their problems. And I'm like, why do we have a weak bill? It should be the strongest bill. If you do not have a signed rental agreement, not a fake one.
A real one.
And then get out of my property. Or you can't show that you've been paying rent. Where's your checks? Where's your things at? Get off my property. You're trespassing. No, we're going to give all these rights to people. I don't understand the thinking of Democrats. They are very confused people.
You know, they deserve to have the voters go Klingon on them, but I guess the voters must agree with them too. I guess I don't have any other reason to or any other conclusion I can draw on this one, Dwayne.
Look at how they rally around the homeless. I mean, they rally around the homeless, these poor homeless people, but they don't really want to ask questions of how these people got there, and they don't want to ask, you know, the only way, like, well, take the surface. Well, he's homeless. Well, how did he become homeless? Is it his fault? Did he do drugs? Does his family not want him anymore? Why don't his family want him anymore? Because He's burned all his bridges. He's no longer wanted. So now the city, the taxpayers, the have to deal with this. There's just no common sense of any of this. And that's kind of what my speech was yesterday on the floor was, common sense is not there. What you think, your mind or your brain, your eyes, it doesn't matter.
I'm wondering if this is a stage that the state of Oregon is going through, and it's just going to have to go through the insane until it runs out of money. And that's why I've almost been advocating that the federal government, well, not almost, I have been. I advocate that the federal government at this point, at least under Donald Trump, go to war against the state of Oregon and suck it dry of all the funding it possibly can, because I don't think any sense will prevail until they run out of money to be able to do stupidity, which they've been doing for quite some time, Dwayne. How do you see it?
I would agree. I've been advocating, we need a reset. We need a reset in Oregon. And the only way we're going to reset is by money. And that's how these Democrats talk, because if you see these bills, they're trying to take in, they'll try to get money from the lottery, or and they want to leave the general fund alone because the general fund is like their play money. They can do what they want. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want them to have any play money. I want to use it all up. I don't want a dime left over, because...
And then if they use up all their money, then they have to use their money then for stuff that they absolutely, absolutely have to have. And that's not transgender kids in sports teams, okay?
No. That means all their little pet projects and NGOs are going to be not going to have any money to, do their bidding for them anymore. And they're going to go away. We need a reset. We need a major reset in this country. We need a major reset in Oregon. These leeches that have... It's a funneling of money. You look who the Democrats are supporting. They're NGOs, or they go to these nonprofits, and then the nonprofits do the work, and then they discriminate against a group of people. It's like a major circle, constant circle in Oregon. And you could see by the bills that the Democrats push, and then you could see who supports it. I'm looking at a bill right now. Union. Well, of course they love that bill.
I wanted to touch on some of the stuff going on right now. Have you heard anything about what's going on with the gun bills? Because rumor has it that they're getting ready to gut and stuff it into one big, beautiful bill, to borrow that term from President Trump. Is that the rumor you're hearing, or have you heard anything about it at all?
They were supposed to have their work session yesterday. I'm not in that committee.
Yeah, it was canceled. I know that. They didn't have any testimony yesterday. So obviously the anti-gun people knew what was going on, but...
If it's in a work session, there wouldn't be any more testimony. You only have testimony on a hearing. It was supposed to be a work session, so it got moved to today, is what I've looked it up already. Mm-hmm. So that'd be 3075 and 3076 on the House side. I'm not following the Senate as much because I got my own problems over here.
Yeah.
To ask Noah about the problems on that side. They'll come to me soon if they haven't already, but I'm just trying to deal with the madness on my side of the House. Of the building here. So they're tomorrow, but if you go to any of these right now, so here's the problem. We're coming to the end of the deadline. This is the end of the deadline of the week to get bills out of your work sessions.
And what happens if you don't get a bill out of work session this week? Is it die?
Then it dies.
Oh, okay. That's why there's the big push. Okay.
There's the big pushes this week. So now if it leaves work session and goes to Ways and Means, it's a little bit different. But it might die in Ways and Means because now it's money, and money's tight right now. But if it's a bill that doesn't need money, they have to get it out of their committee this week. So that's why you're seeing 15 bills or 20 bills in a work session in a committee, because we're coming to the time where now bills have to swap. The House goes, we have to vote on them, and they go to the Senate, and the Senate has to come over to the House, and we're having deadlines. You got, sign and die is coming up in June. So they need to get these bills through their committees to the floor and then to the other side. So this is crunch time for the Democrats. So, again, it's all about wasting their time and taking them as much time as we can. That's where I look at it.
Yeah. In other words,
walking out.
Lots of passive aggression, I guess, is all you can really do at this point, other than the walkout. But you would need to have everybody united on that. Now, a fellow named Mark writes me on legislative issues, and he popped me a note last night that said that the supermajority of the Democrats in the House Senate and the State House is dead right now because they have two Democratic legislators that are out. Senator Woods out of the session is a Democrat and stage four cancer, apparently. And I'm not happy about that, but, you know, still not there. And a Democratic rep is also out right now. Do you know about that, or can you confirm that? Because if they don't have a supermajority, they need Republican votes to be able to get any tax passed. And they had that $1.9 billion monstrosity of the ODOT tax bill last week that was, you know, trying to pay for the roads that was put out there last week. They need Republicans. Before, they didn't need Republicans. How do you see this playing out?
They have a lot of health problems in the Democratic right now. Hoi Nguyen is not coming back. That's a Democrat on the House side.
Yeah.
She is in hospice now. She has brain cancer.
Mm. Horrible. But
yeah, so
at least the political reality of that is that they can't just do it without the Republicans' cooperation, right?
That's correct. So she has to be in the building on the floor to vote. So she might be able to zoom into a meeting, but she can't zoom into the floor. They can't do that. So, and if Woods is gone on the Senate side, the same thing. They don't have a supermajority over there either. So, they're hurting. They would need a Republican. They need at least one Republican to do that. They've also had some other people. They have a lot of health problems on the Democratic side. They got some other people. Mark Evans has been gone. He's been in the hospital. I think he's out now.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mark Evans, but Evans. You know, Representative Evans.
Yes, I know him.
He's been out. They have another representative that's got some breast cancer, but she's been able to come and go and do her treatments. They just have a lot of health problems. Maybe it's COVID shots. I don't know.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, though, this is this may be the one glimmer of hope for Republicans to be able to get some leverage if you are all reunited on a way forward here. And do you detect that in the caucus?
There is a lot of discussion. We are having I gotta be very careful what I say now because obviously you're not gonna say your war plans. You know what I'm saying?
I get that. But do the Republican caucuses in the Senate and the House understand the power position that they now have? One glimmer of a green shoot of being able to stop some of the worst of the bills. Would you agree with me that could be done?
Yes, only on tax bills.
Only on tax bills.
Yeah, so if it's a tax, then yes, it could be stopped because they need 36 votes to pass a tax vote. So we do know that it is on our thing there. They only need for any other bill, it's only 31 votes. It just needs a simple majority.
So if you are going to stop the worst of the gun bills, and frankly, they're all bad, there are no good gun bills this time around, that would need the walkout, right? You'd have to deny the quorum. That's the only way.
Yeah, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
Which is disappointing. That is very disappointing.
There's not a support for that. And I just tell you where I'm at. I know I've been asked this before. I'm like, well, why would they love me to walk out and me never come back? So I'm not going to give them what they want if all my people are – if the whole caucus is going to walk out, I'll walk out.
Walk out all at once. You either all walk out or you don't. But of course, you can choose not to be on the floor when the bill votes. But that's kind of thin gruel too, right? Just doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, a mild just vote no.
Yeah.
I know people that I have heard of people just going to the bathroom on certain votes, but a mild just vote no.
Uh huh.
Just to vote no. I mean, it's not hard to figure out where I'm going to be on the gun vote. It's not where I'm going to be on taxes. So, yeah, we have to be very strategic. I think timing's our biggest thing right now is timing is in our hands. The problem is they can keep us on the weekends and Fridays. And this Thursday, they canceled all the committees for the afternoon to keep us inside the floor, keep us on the floor to vote.
So they're nervous about being able to get all these bills out of committee in time, right?
Yeah, so they're getting backed up. That's I told you earlier it was 25. Actually, I think we have 34 vote bills right now.
Yeah.
That are ready to be voted on.
There's today.
No way we'll hit 34 votes because we go to the floor at 11. and they try to be done by 12:30 because we have committees starting again at 1 o'clock. Well, on Thursday, they canceled all the committees to try to get these bills passed to get them over to the Senate. So it is a time crunch. They know they're hurting. We'll see. Another thing they have this weekend is they have road shows about their tax, you know what I'm saying, the budget. So they've been traveling around going on the budget. So people can't be here on the weekend right now during April. That goes against them. So you got to use it. You got to use the clock in days. And,
yeah. Do your best to make it a ground game and not a passing game, right? In football, to use the and you get the ball, you hike, and you take a knee or whatever it is. All right, you delay it some more, and you delay it and delay it. That's really the game to play right now for Republicans, from what I'm hearing, right?
Yeah, that's the easiest game for us to play right now is the time. Time's going to keep ticking. They can't stop time. They can't stop the date. When we have to be out of here, I guess if we didn't pass the budget, they could call us back for a special session, but that's going to be pretty hard. We just need to kill as many bills as we can. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. State Representative Dwayne Yunker with me this morning. Hey, Dwayne, you have time for a couple of listener calls maybe? And see what, hopefully,
sure.
Hopefully they're sensible. Yeah. And be sensible, Hulk. Hello, caller. You're on with Dwayne Yunker. Who's this?
Oh, this is Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn. And
I couldn't hear anything yet, so put me off until later.
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. Normally I prefer to put people on who've been listening for a while. That's fine. Anyway, hi, good morning. Who's this? You want to talk with Dwayne?
Yes, Bill, Michael Shaw here. Dwayne, you had mentioned taking more aggressive from your military background actions. So here's a suggestion on the bill that got shot down about those taking over others' properties. Do a flanking action. Round up about six big, burly Hell's Angels and move them into Tina Kotek's house. And then let's see how fast your bill gets passed.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's an interesting way, Michael. Appreciate the call. Something tells me that the governor probably wouldn't put up with a lot of squatters over in it's Mahonia Hall, right? Isn't that what that's... It's called the governor's
something
office.
Like that. Yeah, but she has security. State police are there.
Oh, you know? That's it, Mike. Michael, there are already big guys with guns there guarding it. But, no big guys with guns guarding your rental property. That's the whole deal. Hey,
yeah,
Dwayne.
Fences are good, and security is good for the governor, but not for the rest of us.
All right. Well, keep at it, Dwayne. Keep us in the loop here and continue to preach some truth there, even though there don't seem to be many ears to listen to truth in the state legislature right now. And if all you can do is drag your feet and run the clock out, be the best foot dragger you can. Okay. Get your caucus to go along with it. I'm sure no doubt they will. Okay. Be well.
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you, everybody.
State Representative Dwayne Yunker.